I want to welcome those of you who are in our Refuge worship service, and let me encourage you to take your Bible and open to Hebrews chapter 10. And if you don't have a Bible, either here in the auditorium or in our Refuge worship center, in the back of the pew here and at the back of our Refuge gathering, you will find Bibles that we would encourage you to take for yourself and to keep. I'll be reading from the New American Standard this morning as we read two verses of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 10. And let me set up what we'll be talking about this morning before I read for us the text. Last night we had a wonderful worship and praise time with Daniel Brimer and our Refuge worship band. And we had a couple of testimonies that were shared by people who were present. One was from a man named Mike, who's a delightful new member of our church. And he talked about how his life had been wrecked by drugs. In fact, most of his life lived in California, involved addiction to alcohol, to drugs, prison, arrests. And he was very graphic in sharing how he even intended to murder a man that caused him problems. And Mike said, in the height of his dysfunction as a human being, he came to faith in Christ. And he talked about how his life had been transformed. Now we hear testimonies like that, and we think to ourselves, wow, that's powerful. Wow, that's amazing. I wish I had a testimony like that. But the fact of the matter is, you do. Only human beings measure the extent of sin. The truth is, the sores of sin may look different in all of us, but the inner disease within us is always the same. No difference. This morning, I want to show you that just like Mike, something has happened to you when you came to faith in Christ. Something so absolutely incredible. You may talk about it. You may sing about it. But you have a hard time comprehending it. Letting it sink in. That thing that has happened to you is simply this. God forgets your sin. I'm calling it divine amnesia. And I want you to see the basis for it in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. Let's begin reading together. The scripture says, "Then he says..." The he here is God. And he is describing the new agreement, the new covenant that he has with us, those who have come to faith in Christ. Then he says, "And their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Now, when there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Now let's take a look at this. When the Bible says, "And their sins," speaking of you, "and their lawless deeds," referring to you, God will remember them no more. I want to describe this divine amnesia for you. Number one, God's amnesia is intentional, not accidental. Now, the older I get, the worse I am at remembering things. It just happens to all of us. It's an accidental thing. It's not intentional. We just forget. Yeah, I hear that, amen. We just forget. We don't intend to, but it happens. I'm reminded of those two senior adult men who were neighbors and good friends, and they were losing their memories. But one of them began bragging about a book that he had read, How to Work on One's Memory by Word Association. And his friend asked him, well, what's the name of the author of the book? I'd like to get it. He said, just a minute. What's that bush that has beautiful flowers and thorns? He says, you mean a rose? He said, that's it. He hollers back to his wife, hey, Rose, what's the name of the author of that book? You know, we accidentally forget things. That's just the way it happens. But not God. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. The wisdom and the knowledge of God is unbelievably deep. How about this? In Psalm 139, the psalmist says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. By the way, this verse refers to an intimate knowledge of you. Everything about you is known by God. Your wife doesn't know everything about you. Your parents don't know everything about you. Your best friend doesn't know everything about you. God does. John, he knows what you did in Vietnam. Pam, he knows what you did before you were married. Wade, he knows what you did when nobody was looking. God knows us intimately. In fact, in verse 7 of Psalm 139, after the psalmist describes this knowledge of God, of him, he's scared. And he says, where shall I flee from your presence? I mean, that's just a natural reaction when each of us is known in this way. I guarantee you, if we were to show a film of your life right now, every thought you had this past week, every hidden ulterior motive that is revealed with sound or audio, things that only you know because you felt, but now it is exposed because you are made known as God knows you. What would you want to do? You wouldn't stick around watching the film. You'd want to flee like the psalmist, as would I. So I ask you this question. If you're here this morning and you know yourself to be a sinner, you know yourself to have been lawless, where do you flee? I propose to you that the Scripture tells us that we should flee to Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Listen to me very carefully. I know this is old-fashioned teaching, but it is the main theme of Hebrews. It is the subject matter of our text. Religion messes this up. Preachers have a tendency to try to avoid it because they don't like how old-fashioned it is. They want to encourage people in other ways than what the Bible encourages us. The Bible is quite clear. If you know yourself as a sinner, flee to Christ. And the blood that He shed at Calvary cleanses you from sin. The old hymns used to talk about it. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You say, but I don't like that. I want to atone for my sins before God myself. You know who you're arguing against? You're arguing against God. Only the blood of His Son brings you remission, cleansing of your sins. Listen to Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25. I, the Lord alone, blot out your sins. You see, any religion and any church that tries to convince you that you make yourself right with God by your own activity is missing the gospel. God alone cleanses you of your sins through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, but now watch. Not only do you flee to Christ for the remission of your sins, you flee to Christ for the righteousness of life. What that means is this. When you come to faith in Christ, a transaction takes place. I love to call it the great transaction. All of your sins which deserve the righteous judgment of God, whatever they be, are transferred to Christ. All of His righteous activity, that means what He did in life, all of the righteousness of His person and His work is transferred to you. He gets what He doesn't deserve, your sin, but He willingly receives it. And you get what you don't deserve, the blessings of His righteousness. And He willingly grants it to you. This is incredible to me. When you come to faith in Christ, everything about your life changes in terms of how God views you. You flee to Christ for righteousness. Not the church, not your activity, to Christ. And when you do, God's amnesia is intentional, not accidental. He says, I will remember your sins no more. Now, I want to show you a second thing about divine amnesia. Number two, God's divine amnesia is global, not partial. Now here's what I mean by this. I'm not using the word global in talking about every single human being or every single sinner. Because the truth of the matter is, if a person is ashamed of Christ and rejects Christ and the good news that Christ died for sinners, if a person wants nothing to do with the thought that God Himself has provided His Son, if someone tramples on the blood of Christ, as we'll see in the coming weeks in the latter part of Hebrews 10, if someone spits in the face of God and says, I want nothing to do with Jesus Christ, the Lord, in His mercy, says, all right, you will answer for each and every one of your own sins to me. And I will show you coming up in verse 31 that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Listen, I know we're living in an obnoxious world. I know we're living in a world where people are doing things that are frankly sickening. It causes our stomachs to turn when we see them. I saw the arrest of Muammar Gaddafi by the Libyan fighters on video on YouTube. I wish I had never seen it. The Libyan freedom fighters killed him. and I watched it happen. And what they did is unspeakable. Now, I know Muammar Gaddafi murdered innocent men and women. I know he's a criminal and probably should die for his crimes. But here's the sad part. We live in a world where the heart of hate and evil in Muammar Gaddafi is replicated in man and woman, boy and girl, across the seas. These Libyan fighters were just as guilty of Muammar Gaddafi. We live in an ugly, curse-filled world. But hear me now. There's coming a day of judgment. There is. It's a righteous thing. It's a good thing. God is just. He never makes a mistake. Each and every human being will answer for their sins before a holy God. It's a great tribunal. But God has divine amnesia toward those who embrace His Son. I want you to see this global amnesia, not partial. What I mean by global is it's in every area of your life, not just some sins, not just partial sins, not just sins before you came to know Christ, not just sins after you came to know Christ. It's all of them. It's global. Not just sins that you sincerely repented of. Not just sins that you've identified. Not just sins that are known. It's the sins that are not known. The sins that are hidden. The sins that trick you up and trip you up. God has divine amnesia. Meaning, God does not remember now. Now! Now I know that when you go to church, most of the time, 90% of the time, the preacher's trying to convince you that you should change the way you live in order to get God to do something for you. I'm telling you, if you come to faith in Christ, the amnesia of God, which is intentional, is now. It's global. It's right now. What that means is this. Listen. You are free from guilt and condemnation of your sins. Now see, you think about what you did years ago. And you say to yourself, man, how can I be forgiven of that? And I guess what I would say to you is, that's how powerful the blood of Jesus Christ is. You ever known anybody that ever passed out at the sight of blood? Let me tell you what God does. At the sight of His Son's blood applied to your heart by faith, He forgets. You say, well, Pastor, just a moment. When does He forget? Does He forget if I am sincere? Does He forget if I am truly repentant? When does He forget? He forgets the moment you throw off all trust in yourself. And you trust Christ. He forgets it all. You say, Pastor, I would have no restraint. If I believed that God forgave me like that, I would have no restraint for living the kind of life I believe I should live. No, I think you're mistaken. I think you're mistaken. And I know you've heard this illustration before, but I think it's an appropriate one. It's from Greek mythology. Do you remember when you had the ancient Greek sailors sailing the Aegean Sea? You remember that there were the sirens who used to sing beautiful songs, and the sailors would come close to the island of the sirens, and then these half-beast, half-woman creatures would swoop down upon the sailors and devour them. Do you remember how the Greek legend goes that a captain of a particular ship told his men, he had been warned about the sirens, he told his men to strap him to the mast, to tie him down, to put his hands behind his back, and to put wax in their ears so they couldn't hear the songs. But he wanted to hear them. And he knew that he would be enticed to sail toward the island of the sirens, so he needed the bindings. He needed to be bound. And sure enough, as the sirens began to sing, he fought. I want to go hear them. I want to go hear them. And he yelled to his men, sail toward them, sail toward them. And he became bloody in the battle. Well, they made it through. They made it through. But the captain was miserable. You realize that churches are a lot like that. People come to church, and what they do is they get bound up through law and through legalism, and we tell you what you should do, what you ought to do, what you can't do. We tie you up. And you're bloody. It's a tough battle. Your heart is being pulled towards sin. But no, man, we tie you up. We need to be like Jason of the Argonauts. In Greek mythology, when Jason was warned of the sirens, you know what he did? He called for Orpheus, who is the greatest musician in the land. And he told Orpheus to bring his violin, his fiddle, and his harp. They put him on the ship. And as they began to sail, they told Orpheus to play his music. And we are told that as he played his harp and his violin and his fiddle, the men were enraptured by the beauty of his music. And when the pull of the siren's song began to be heard, the men ignored it because there was far more beautiful music being played on the ship than coming from the island. If you could ever comprehend what God has done for you in Christ and believe it in your heart and know that His amnesia is global, it is now. You are forgiven. You are cleansed. You are right with Him. That sweet music in your heart. Will so enrapture you, you couldn't even dream about going to the second best symphony called sin. We've got it all reversed. We think that we need to bind people up when the Scripture says we need to understand who we are in the new covenant. God forgets. It is intentional and it is global. But notice, not only does He forget now, He forgets later. And again, I know I'm disagreeing with a lot of people that you've probably heard teach on the subject of the judgment seat and standing before the great white throne and how everything in your life will be reviewed and God will make a judgment as to whether or not this was sin and so on. Listen, I just ask a simple question. How can that happen if God doesn't remember? Thank you, Norman. How can that happen if God doesn't remember? This is the beauty of the new covenant. This is the good news. This is the gospel. And I know you think that being a Christian is going to church and doing things for God and saying, okay, I'm going to do this and do that and so on. And in your mind, you're thinking that Christianity is a totally different life than what you're living now and you want nothing to do with it. Oh, I hope you remember my words when you lay your head on your pillow and sin begins to gnaw at you. The Bible tells us that sin is sweet to the taste, but when it sinks to the soul, it is a bitter tonic. And when you wake up drunk, and when you wake up beside somebody you don't know, and when you wake up
and you say to yourself, why am I here? When you're in your car in that dark alley and your eyes are raised and you're looking for people around you, why don't you ask yourself this question? Doesn't God know? And the answer is, he does. And you will answer to him. Unless you come to Christ. And when you come to Christ, he forgets. And when he forgets, and a gospel preacher begins to tell you the beauty of him forgetting, all of a sudden, you begin to see you truly are free. And the pull of the song of the sirens is broken because the sweet music of his grace begins to play in your heart. But I close with this, and we must move quickly. Not only do we see that God's amnesia for us who know Christ is intentional and not accidental. It's global and not partial. There's a third thing that I want you to see. His amnesia is actual, not theological. Here's what I mean by that. We talk about what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We sing about it. And it becomes part of our routine. It's part of our theology. It's part of our confession. But it's actual. Here's what this means. I want to drive it home. When we think about the forgiveness of God for us, it's real. It's actual. It's personal. Which means a couple of things. Number one, it means that you should have boldness in your communion with God. Do you realize the reason many of you stay away from a calling to the mission field, and the reason many of you stay away from just sharing the gospel to your neighbor? The reason many of you won't pray around the table with your family, and the reason many of you won't do what the Spirit is compelling you to do, is because in your mind you are thinking this: everybody's going to think I'm a hypocrite. Everybody's going to think, they looked at my life, they've seen what I've done, and they're going to think to myself, he's a hypocrite. I want to ask you a question. Why do you continue to insist to remember what God forgets? Why do you live your life remembering what God says, I've forgotten? Just do it. Do what the Spirit compels you to do. You are free. You are free. Number two. This should do away every moment of your life with any concept that you do anything for God to obtain his pardon or his cleansing. This is verse 18. If the Lord says, I will remember their sins no more, then there is no more offering for sin. Meaning, I know that you may think it is honoring to God when you get yourself in a pickle because of the trouble that you're in and say, God, if you get me out, I promise you, I will serve you. God, if you just give me this, I promise you, I will give to you. I know you think that's honoring to him. It's not. It's not. I know preachers think it's honoring when they say, look, if you'll do this for God, then God will do this for you. It's not honoring. No. No. What's honoring to God is to realize his amnesia for your sin and to live your life doing what you do, not to obtain anything from God in terms of his pardon or his affection or his acceptance. You do what you do because you are accepted and you are so overjoyed by it. You just love it. You just love it. Somebody says, oh, but what about the passage in John that says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Great question. You know what confession means? Homologeo. If you were to ask me, is there sin in my life? You know what I would say to you? Absolutely. There's sin in my life every day, every hour. Every hour. Oh, but you know what I think in terms of my relationship with God? He says to me, forget about it. Forget about it. I've forgotten about it. You know what I say? But Lord, my sin is ugly. Oh, I know, wait, he says. I'm rooting it out of you. I know that. You've already agreed with me about it. That's why my son died for you. Now just relax. Just relax. I accept you. That only comes with the promise of his son, meaning if you reject Christ, you don't get that. Number three, and I close with this. When you begin to understand the kind of forgiveness you have from God, you know what? It's real easy for you to forgive people who've offended you. Yeah. I mean, they can ruin your reputation. They can say all kinds of things. They can slander you. They can hit you upside. They can do. Now, I know that some of you are in the middle of it. By the way, I've been in the middle of a lot of it. I know that in the middle of it, you say to yourself, I can't. Listen, I'm not trying to set a goal out there and saying to you, all right, meet that goal. Forgive. Come on, work it up. Get it done. No. No, I'm not saying that. And by the way, if you're in a dark state where you can't forgive, it's all right. It's all right. Forget about it. Forget about it. You say, I can't. It's eating me up. I'm saying, forget about it in terms of God. He understands. He's going to root it out of you. But I'm telling you, the only way that you will ever have the power to forgive is to realize the power of his forgiveness. I will remember their sins no more. It's intentional. It's global. It's actual. Now live like it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you give us this incredible